We are starting Simen Pei Dalet, Hilchos Torah. It's Simen Pei Dalet. I'm going to just give a drop of an introduction before we start the actual Simen. Okay? And part of the introduction is to tell you that we're going to probably be a little bit different than we've done in the past with Hagol's Kalim and Bishlagim, and that we're going to try to stay more to the, if I can use the word, practical issues, if we can say that, and less in the, so to speak, details of what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, now, to introduce it, we'll say it like this. The Torah tells us that there's three different types of insects that are usher. The insects in the water, insects that fly, and insects that are in the land. Okay, so the first question that strikes you is, why did the Torah have to tell you...
To end on this call, press 1. Returning to the conference room.
Why did the Torah have to tell you three different types of insects? Why did it say that water insects and land insects? Why didn't it just tell you that insects are usher? What's the reason for the detail? The Torah has to give you these different varieties. I know that the Torah, you over more lavin because it says it many times. But even so, what's the point to say it in all these different ways just to make the point that there's these different types of bugs? The surprise is, that really the Torah is only telling you that very specific bugs are usher. Many insects are mutter. Okay, only very specific insects. The Torah, by telling you which ones you can't eat, is telling you this one don't eat and this one don't eat, and other ones are very mutter. Okay, and for example, let's go through the three groups. The bugs that are based in the water, that's going to be the first three halachas. The first three halachas are going to be about bugs that are based in the water. Those are limited to which ones are usher. I'm going to get back to that in a second because that's our halachas we're going to talk about. Flying bugs that fly, sheretz oif. It says in the Torah, kol sheretz oif. So all sheretz oif is usher. But there's an exception. Those are chagavim. That's the next psukim in the Torah. That's simen pehe is going to be about chagavim. That's a flying insect that's mutter under certain circumstances. That's simen pehe, that's not arsim. And land bugs, the Torah says, only the kol sheretz has sheretz al ha'aretz, from which we learn out that only bugs are only usher if they crawl on the ground. And what that means is going to be the second part of the simen. That's the middle and the end halachas of the simen are about that kind of thing. So I'm just pointing it out to you that the Torah is telling us very specific rules on which things are mutter and usher. It's not all bugs are usher. Certain types of insects are usher. And the truth is, most of the simen is about which insects are mutter, not about which insects are usher. Okay. The other two parts of the simen are just to round it out. The other two parts of the simen is there's going to be a few halachas about bugs that are burnt or dried out. They're mutter for another reason. That's not because they were inherently mutter, they're mutter for some special reason. And a few halachas is what you most think about when you think about insects is how do you check for them or when you mechuyev to check for them. Okay, but that's a few halachas in the middle and towards the end. Okay, now, to the halachas we're about to start, which is the first three halachas about water, water-based bugs. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Chulin divides those bugs into roughly into four different groups. Okay, we're going to start from the worst to the best. Okay, the worst is the ones that are found in yamim and mechalim, in rivers and lakes. And the Torah says specifically those are usher. It says bugs that are in the yamim and mechalim are usher. And the definition, the Gemara describes what does it mean a yam and what are yam and nechom, what's their definitive feature, we're going to see it in the Shulchan Aruch in a second, is that they're noivim and they're moishim. Noivim means that they have a water source, that there's a continuous supply of fresh water from some kind of a spring, and moishim means that the water flows or moves in that body of water all the time. Okay, that's what yam and nechom, that's what the Torah says is also, that's the classic case, that's what the Torah tells you not to eat from. What happens if you find, the next case down is called Charitzin and Yitzin, that means canals and other smaller bodies of water. We'll find out what that means. It's going to be Halacha Beis, it's going to be about that. There's a Machlokes in the Gemara, what the din is for that case. There's a Machlokes showing them what the Gemara means about that case, and that's Halacha Beis.
In which Gemara?
In Chulin, in Samach Zayin. That's a Machlokes in the Gemara. Machlokes showing them what the Gemara means of it, and that's Halacha Beis. Memetzer Shem Penexa. Okay, then the last two are very similar. One is biris, water that's in bugs that are in a bar, which is a well, a pit, some kind of a collection of some other collection of water. Those bugs is not moishkin and not noivim. They have no water source. They just get filled up and they don't flow or move. They're just sitting there. Okay, those are.
That
is. Okay. Those are mutter, as long as they stay in the bar. And a case that's very similar to that is bugs that are in kalem. Okay, the difference in kalem and boiras is that kalem are not even attached to the ground. They're just a container, just a big cistern, just a water tank. Those are also, they're not like yamin acham at all, and those are also mutter. Okay, so we have these four groups of bugs. I hope I didn't say that too quickly. Okay, these four different types of places where the bug would be found, depending where they're found.
How they get there? What? Found or grown?
Grown. Where they grown? Where they came from? I'm correct. You're correct. David. Where they came from? That they came from that spot. They were born in that spot. If they're born in that spot, let's say you have a Kaylee. Okay, you have a cup of water and you leave it on the table and you come back tomorrow and there's bugs in it and those bugs were born right in there. I don't mean they flew in. They were born in the thing.
Spontaneous generation.
Spontaneous. Yeah, we're not going to deal with spontaneous generation until way later at the end of the simon, until we get to the fish. But for the ones that come in the water by themselves, those are mutter. Okay, so let's start the simon. Halachav. Shrotim hagdelim b'mayim shebekalim shebebaris sichonim aris. Bugs that grow in water which is in kalem, that's the most obvious case that's mutter, or barisichin varus, is three different types of wells and pools and things like that. She'enim noivim, that they're not noivim, meaning they have no water source to them. So those are mutar, they're mutter, meaning because that's not considered a yamun chom, it's not haritzin or nitzin because it's not noivim, so those are for sure mutter. Right? So you have in your backyard, there's a puddle of water, and in that water starts to grow bugs, those bugs are mutter. Even though they have no fins and scales, meaning they're not mutter because they're fish that are kosher, they're not kosher fish. They don't have fins and scales. They're still mutter anyhow. Therefore, you could bend down and drink from them. You don't have to worry that bugs are getting out. You could sit, if you're sitting in the water and you want to drink, you could open your mouth and drink what you want to. Don't worry if there are bugs in there. Okay, so Ramah says, Avol, Asur, Lishoy, Bekleiv, Lishoy, Man. But you could, when the Mechaber said you could sit in the water and drink, you could sit in the water and drink, but you can't scoop it out with a cup. Okay, now why the Ramah says this is going to be for next time. We're going to, for now, ignore that part of the Ramah. We'll do it next time.
So you can with your hand, feet,
whether you can with your hand, we're not talking about that. It says you could sit down, bend down to the water, and drink out of the water. That's what the Mechaber said you're allowed to do. Right, you're allowed to do. Okay, what the Rambam means, what you're not allowed to do is going to be for next time. If the impurishim mokum revisan, so the Mechaber says, but if they left the place where they grew, if they left the place where they were born, where they grew up, what happens if they went to the back outside of the bar, or they're in a kli, they went to the outside of that kli, even though they went back into the water, asurim, they're asur. Because once they left their place, then they don't have the din anymore of water bugs, and they become asur. They were pure sitzel. Excuse me? That's the next word to Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to be worried that they left. If you find them in the water there, you assume that's where they were, and that's where they came. You don't have to be chayshish. We're going to talk about next time when you do have to be chayshish. That has to do with the Ramah, when you have to be chayshish. But we're going to say that you don't have to be chayshish. Aval, the moy pirshu, if they only went onto the walls of the container on the inside, I mean, if you think about it, there's water in this bucket, and now the bugs might have gone into the inside walls of the bucket, and then fell back into the water, that would be okay. It's still mutaram, because that whole place is considered their makom revius, and that's the place where they were born, that's their habitat, and therefore, since they never left that habitat, they stay mutar. Okay? If they went out of the kli and fell back in, they would be usher. If they stayed in the clique, even on the inside, they're going to be mutter.
And this has absolutely nothing to do with whether it's spontaneously generated or not.
Right.
It's clear, thing of an egg is laid, the zakhar came, or whatever.
Right. But that's why we're not talking about spontaneous generation until the end of the simon, by the fish, that's where it's more negated to. But for this part, it has nothing to do with it. It doesn't make a difference. If their mother and father could be still sitting there, they're all sitting there together by the Shalom Zakhar, but it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. If they were born there, that's their place, and they're mutter.
The parents came from the outside.
Right, it appears to be that, so the spontaneous generation is not relevant here. It's late at the end of the simon. For us, it's not here. That's why I'm not talking about it. Okay. Now, as I sort of said to you, the halacha is about checking things for bugs, to find bugs, which is what we think about. It doesn't start to halacha ches. So until then, and most of the simon is not about checking for bugs. It's about bugs that you know are there. Okay, at the very end of the simon is halacha fiyasi. It says that the minig is that even if you have cheese and there's bugs that were that are kovtzim heina behena. You see them jumping around in the cheese. You could eat the cheese. Okay, so I don't think when it says minig over there, don't take it as if people looked for them. Like the minig was, they went to try to find the cheese. Whatever, why it says minig over there? But the din is you're allowed to. Okay, even though you see in front of because you see, okay, no, that has nothing to do with that. But that's the word minig over there is for a different reason. But anyhow, but the it's completely mutter. Okay, now
these things are open, right? Is there no kishash that may a flying bug fell in there and?
I mean, should we close it? This is a flying bug?
I mean, you have to look at wings, but you only have to check.
I'm not sure. I guess you're assuming that it's not a flying bug. Okay, a flying bug would be also under its own conditions.
Right.
Okay, yes, that's true. That's a... Okay.
So you don't even have to check the water to make sure the bug is a water bug?
So you check the bug.
You have to at least see...
You're saying if it looks like a flying bug that fell into the water, then I guess you would not eat it. Then it would be a flying bug.
So you have to still look at the bugs in the water. Make sure
to remain on this call, press 1. Returning to the conference room.
So what are the limits of the definition of a sheret? So
what do you mean by that?
So why isn't a clam mutter was born in the water?
So this is an interesting question. I don't really know the answer. There's going to be a halacha at the very end of the siman about this bird-like creature, and it's not clear if that thing a bird or is it a sheret oif. A sheret oif would be usher. A sheret oif could be mutter in the right cases, and a bird would be usher. That's a question. So I'm not clear to me. How do you decide when does this thing become so big that it became becomes a fish? Is it zooplankton? Okay, that these tiny little things that are underwater. Are those fish that need to have fins and scales, which of course they don't have, or are they worms? Are they bugs? So that's not. It's a good question. Maybe I can find that better.
Thousands of little creatures.
Little thing. Well, how when it gets how big did it turn into a?
Why not? Maybe very big. Why not an octopus? An octopus is also because of a duck tummy. An octopus is also because of a shark.
Obviously, you know that an octopus is a duck tummy. But the question is, how do you know that? Why is it so obvious that the octopus is this and the shark is not? I'm not sure. I'm not asking a question.
I mean, by the definition, the Rashi said, "What's sheret?" The only way you recognize it when you see walking around.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, if you say it's still, you don't recognize that it's an animal. That's the word sheret means. That's what Rashi says.
A crab is not a sheret.
Right. Sometimes you could see it in bed, and that's a creature.
And an ant, you don't think it's a sheret?
It is.
It is. But you could see an ant. I mean, depending on how you look at it, you could see it also.
Different guys,
you know, shrimp, you see an animal. From a distance, you wouldn't notice it unless it was moving around.
But that's the aside.
You got a hackle shrimp that's as big as some shrimp, you know.
Okay, fine.
That's actually
fine,
sheriff, right? Some sheriff. Right? Because you see. So those are cockroaches, it's not a sheriff. It's a joke.
It's really a joke, it's not a sheriff. They're bigger than what you're talking about in the water and the cheese. So, you know, I think the things you're talking about are so small that unless there's a large amount of them, or if you look closely, you would see them. But, you know, if you have something that when it becomes nogea to our world, it's big enough that you know you would see it without any problem. Mm-hmm. You know, but of course, when it's born, it's very small, but it's still you can see that it's.
Do you think it depends when it was born, whether how big it is at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Okay, guys, let's go on. Okay. So the Achronim talk about, and even though we're going to see, in this halacha, and we're going to see in a bunch of many halachas that there are specific insects that are mutter. There are lots of insects in this siman that are going to be mutter. They're going to say that in many cases there's an issue to eat those bugs anyhow because of something else called balta shaksu. Okay, they're not supposed to do things that are disgusting. Okay, that's not because the bug is inherently usher. The bug is inherently mutter, but you're not allowed to do that anyhow.
Well, we know people will do eat
chagav. We're getting there. Give me a second. Okay, so. Okay, so one of the strongest, if I could use the word makar, to that din is, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that it's min hadin, from the letter of the law, you'd be allowed to eat live chagavim. Okay, chagavim are mutter, they don't need shechita, they don't even need to be dead min hadin. But the Gemara says that you're not allowed to because it's balta shaksu. Okay, it's considered disgusting for people to eat live chagavim, and therefore you're not allowed to. And so here it's something that's mutter, it's a food that's kosher, but you're not allowed to eat that, and the Ramah brings something like that in Simeon Yud Gimel way back where he says you're not allowed to eat live fish. Okay, fish have the same din; they don't have to even be dead to eat them. Min hadin, from the letter of the law, but because about the shaksu, you're not allowed to eat live fish.
About the shaksu is subjective to the time of life.
That's what I'm coming to. Okay, the Beis Yosef in Kuf Tezayin is mesupik whether when we say about the shaksu, which is really a pasuk, Okay, voice the shaktsu is not shaysechem. I think it's a positive. You're not allowed to be about the shaktsu. Is that the raisu of the rabbanon? Beis Yosef himself is mesupik about that. The Taz over there seems to say it's a deraisa. It's not clear 100%, but he seems to say like that. The pre-chodesh by us says that it's a drabbanon, and it's a big shayla nechorin whether it's a deraisa or drabbanon. It's coming from a pasuk, but is it really a deraisa or is it just a drabbanon, just an asmachta from that pasuk? Okay. Now the shachan Taz by us, I'm saying it to you the way the Prim Gadol understands them. The shachan Taz by us say like this. In our case, it says the guy could bend down and drink out of the lake, out of the swimming pool. He's in a swimming pool and he could drink. There are worm bugs floating around. He could drink them. So they say, obviously, people don't find those things to be disgusting. Okay, obviously, it's not bata shaktsu, and that's why the person is allowed to drink it. Since you're drinking it together with the rest of your water, it doesn't bother people. Okay, were it to bother people, if people were to be bothered by the fact that they was in there. I'm sorry, if you would not like, if you'd find it disgusting to drink that, then you would not be allowed to. Okay? If we get to it next time, when we hope to talk about the copepods in New York's water, okay, that this question of whether people would find it disgusting was negated to them as far as them filtering the water on Shabbos. If you live in New York and you want to filter
your water. It's coming from a pool of water, anyways.
What's the problem?
You said it depends if a bug grows in a pot.
In a bar?
If it comes
yes, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not
because it's anyways coming from a river.
You're no. In a bar is mutter.
From the river.
No. Let me back up. Let me back up a second. Okay. All water comes from someplace else. Okay? So when we say that there's water in a container, water in a container and it has a certain thing, it doesn't mean that the water was created there. Someone mixed hydrogen and oxygen and created water in that container. That's not what it means.
It
doesn't have to come from the rain. You have to know where the bug grew. Okay. It depends where the bug grew. But the water that's in your swimming pool is water that's in a bar. Clay. That's where the water is. If a bug is born in that water, if you put in a clean water and now a bug comes, that's a water in the bar. The fact that it came from a river doesn't make a difference. Okay, if you go to your house and you take water out of the sink, even though it came from Lake Michigan, now it's water in a clean. You don't say, this is water from a yam because it's from Lake Michigan. No. We look at the water.
We already knew for a fact that it grew after.
If we know that it grew afterwards, right? So that we're assuming that, and we'll see more next week, next time, that there's scientists who know very much, and I guess the people that knew that also, where these things grow. Okay, all bugs don't grow in all places, and they got it all down pat. By looking at the bug, they can tell you where. Okay, so the
same scientists who believe in spontaneous generation.
They don't believe in spontaneous
generation.
Right. Okay. So the Prichodesh gives us a bunch of pratim about Bata Shaksu. They're not only geared to us, but I'll say them because this is what the Prichodesh talks about. Okay. First of all. Bata Shaksu is not something, it's not a halachomish mesinai. The Torah doesn't tell us this is disgusting. It depends on what people think is repulsive or appetizing. It depends on, where you are and your time and your place, what is or is not considered acceptable. It's not like a din that this is disgusting. It's what's considered, what people consider good or bad. So the people who, emotionals who eat live bugs, if that's in their place and that place is considered reasonable, then that's fine. You're allowed to do it. Now, what happens if you find something
that's... I don't think the Shach agrees to that.
That what?
That's telling the person.
Because?
Well, the Shach, when he said it's about the Shach, he said because it's kavod, it's to drink the water, no question about the Shach.
So
that's it, it's more like you say.
No, the Prima Gadim says that they're not arguing. Prima Gadim says, that's why I said, according to the Prima Gadim, the Prima Gadim says that they're not arguing with each other. The Shach is saying what the assumption is. Were the person to find it disgusting? The Shach say, I'm assuming people don't find it disgusting. Were the person to find it disgusting? Well, so you'll look afterwards in the little words in the Prima Gadim afterwards. The Prima Gadim says that they're not arguing. He said they're not arguing. Okay. Okay, now, the next thing is, what happens if you find it to be disgusting, but most people don't? Okay, you look at avocado and say, oh my gosh, avocado, I can't eat this stuff. Okay, it makes me disgusting, and everybody else thinks that is a normal, regular food. Okay, what's the thing there? So, the Prichodesh says that that's usher, and it comes from a Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin says that if an animal gives birth, and inside there's a shilu, there's a fetus inside of it, if you think it's okay, if you're comfortable eating it, then eat it. And if you're not comfortable eating it, then don't eat it. It's about the shatzus, depends on you. Meaning,
subjective.
It's subjective. If you think it's disgusting, then don't eat it. So the prechos, that's for a case where most people consider it acceptable. Most people think that avocado is fine. And you find it putrid. You can't imagine eating an avocado. So for you, you're not allowed to eat it. For you, it's about the shatzus. And everybody else, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, we see they think that about the shatzus grew up on it. When we say about Vishnu Yisrael, that what touches up what needs cooking, that depends on the area that you live in. So why would that be different? I don't think it's a chiluk to you. I wouldn't eat it raw, that it would be a dinner b'shalachim. Look at the makom of that city.
Right, so I'm not up to your case that you're thinking about. I'm saying so far as people find it acceptable, people eat,
right,
in our case, avocado. You personally don't like it. So for you, it's b'al t'shatzu. That's the thing. It's a very, it's a, so to speak, a personal decision. It's very, it's not a...
We're going to be over the lot about the shots. Okay,
now,
have you ever tried something, but let's say like you're eating like sushi, and there has sushi, but it looks gross, or whatever, raw fish, and then you try, like,
it looks gross.
Is it usher?
Okay, I'm
not free, it's not usher because you don't like it.
I think looking gross is mean.
We can't go to the conference room.
It's disgusting, not because it looks interesting or strange, or, you know.
It has to be disgusting.
I'm saying, people eat gross with like ketchup, but like, you know, but once you try it, you
know. The thing is that if you're willing to try it, and obviously you don't find it so horrible, it's within range of what you think seems reasonable, you know, and go try that.
You know, like the taste. I can't stand this taste. That's not the shock.
No, I'm trying to save the point of.
Okay. Next part of the prechadish is this: What happens if people knew that the thing that the bug was there, they wouldn't eat it, but they just don't know. Okay. Like, think about it. Think about the people you meet in companies and you tell them there are bugs in broccoli. They happily eat the broccoli. They don't know there's bugs in it. If they knew they were there, they wouldn't want to eat it. Okay, but they're happily oblivious, and they just eat the thing without knowing that there's anything in there. Is that considered b'al t'shatzu? That's not b'al t'shatzu, or is it not b'al t'shatzu? If they knew it was there, they would be disgusted. But they don't know, and they're happily oblivious, and they eat the food. Is that not b'al t'shatzu?
Can I ask b'al t'shatzu? Is another person relevant for b'al t'shatzu?
We're going to get there in a second. If somebody else is relevant. So that's the last case. The last two cases.
How could it be b'al t'shatzu if you don't even know it's there?
So the question, is it or is it not? Well, meaning, if you would know, if I would show you the bug inside the broccoli, you wouldn't want to eat it. But now, you're not disgusted by it. So maybe that should make it awesome because I really don't want
to
eat that.
You would never be able to eat it.
I wouldn't eat out
then. How do you ever know?
How would you know that it's it? Okay. Anyhow, we could argue about it. Anyhow, he brings a Gemara, a Raya from the Gemara Chulin also, that Ravina told his mother, he says, Ma, I don't know if you saw it, Ma, I don't know what you called her, but Ma, if you see worms in the fish, hide them, that I won't notice them, because they're really mutim in that din, and that way I'll eat them. Okay? Just make sure that I don't notice them. Just make sure they're covered over with something that I don't notice them, and I'll eat that. No, they're mutim in that din. Why waste the fish, cut it up to get out those worms? So just make sure that I don't notice them. Meaning, even though I won't notice them, if I would notice them, I wouldn't want to eat them. I would be disgusted by them. Okay, that's a rational thought.
Is that anything to do with blood, maybe? If you don't see the blood, it's mutter?
No. This is something that Minhadin is mutter. The worm...
In your mouth?
That blood is mutter. It's similar. The blood is mutter. Right. In this case, the worm is mutter. If you would know it was there, you would be disgusted by it. You would not be allowed to eat it, even though it's mutter. But which is what a lot of people say when they heard about the worms and the fish. When they saw the worms, they go, "Oh God, I don't know if it's mutter. I don't want to eat that stuff." Right? That's how people look. That was a lot of people's reaction. But Ravina said to his mother, "I know that if I would see it, it's usher. I know that it's mutter and hadin. So just make sure that I don't notice it. Cover it up in a way that I don't notice it." Okay, so that's mutter. Okay, now next, the Gemara says in Makkos that if the water that you use to draw blood. That's the word. The container, the kli that you use to draw blood, they use like suction blood out of people for bloodletting. It's considered it's b'al t'shatzu to drink water out of that cup. Okay, and in Simon Kuf Tezayin, the Shulchan Aruch brings a whole bunch of similar things. I don't need to tell you all the examples. Okay, all things that are really disgusting things to drink out. You can't drink out of this, and you can't drink out of that. And so it comes from a Gemara Makkos that you're not allowed to drink out of the cup that they use for bloodletting. It's considered to be b'al t'shatzu. So zot prichadosh. That tells us. And if there's something that basically everybody in the world finds disgusting, that's what that list in Kuf Tezayin is, things that almost everybody in the world, basically everybody in the world finds disgusting, that thing you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to do, even if it doesn't bother you. Even if to you it doesn't mean anything, that you're not allowed to do, because, again, even though we said that b'al t'shatzu is dependent on you, if you find it disgusting, you can't have it. But if everybody finds this thing disgusting, then you can't. You're not allowed to do it and say, for me, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, that you're not allowed to do. Now, it so happens, just for as an aside, the Pri Chodesh tells you, go look in Simon Samach Vav, where he talks about this. That's what he tells you, look there. There it's a din about a chicken that sat on an egg for a couple of days. Okay, and there's a question whether it is or is not about the shaksu to eat that egg after it started to develop into a chick. And you should just know that the din of the Shulchan Aruch says not like Pri Chodesh over there. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says that it is Mutter. Okay, so that's just on the side. And that's what the Pri Chodesh says. The last case that we have to talk about is, which is probably the most negay, is what happens if not everybody thinks it's disgusting, but most people think it's disgusting. Okay, that most people in the world would think this is disgusting, but there's a fair amount that think that it's not, and you're from the minority. Okay, not that basically everybody does. It's 60-40, and most people think that it's disgusting. 70-30, most people think it's disgusting, and you happen to be, it doesn't bother you. Okay, that's a machlokes nefar. Okay, the Prima Gadim says that it's mutter. Prima Gadim says by us that the food is mutter. He says the Knesset Agdol says that it's aser. It's a question. There's a whole bunch of achronim. There's a daki true about it in Sifkat and Yidal. A lot of places will talk about this. Again, a food that most people are find to be about the shaksu. But there's a fair amount of people who don't. So am I sort of stuck with them? The fact that most people find the answer is like kuf design, that things that everybody finds disgusting and not allowed to eat. Well, you say, wait a second, this is subjective. If I'm not bothered by it, then I'm not bothered by it. Okay, that's a question. Okay. One last thing we need to talk about. Okay, another few minutes.
Would it make a difference if it's the rice or the rabbanon, whether you use objective or subjective? Is that an idea? It's marasai, for sure, is subjective, because for sure it's the rabbanon.
Okay, you're saying maybe if it's the rice, then it more depends on what everybody does. There might be more like a rule to it.
A rule.
As opposed to, okay, I'm not sure, maybe, my thinking is that Bata Shaksu is not, the Torah doesn't give a list of don't eat these 10 foods. It says don't eat things that people find disgusting. So, your Zaidi thought that it was disgusting to eat raw fish. That doesn't mean that nowadays it might be different. So the Torah's not telling you don't eat raw fish. It's saying if in your time, right, it's telling us the whole rule is things that people find disgusting. Don't do so. Right. So it's I'm guessing that even if it's a derisa, it's probably still these kind of rules apply being subjective. But I'm not sure. Okay. The last is like this. That they told the Chazal what to do.
Right.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. Now the fact. Now we'll talk right now about a big possible kula, which is like this. We're talking about the fact that there are insects that are mutter. For example, in our case, the bugs that develop in the water are mutter until they leave the water, until they get to, let's say, to the back of the clay. We're going to have later about bugs on the ground. They're not usher until they walk, okay? Or in certain cases, they're not usher until they walk. So came along Shlomo Kluger, and because of that, he came up with a big kula. And he said like this.
Listen, you wrote almost 100 books. Which one?
It's in Kael Kalf Sim Kuf Samach. Okay. And the truth is, Crazy Placey says the same thing also. He says it as Limbitz Chos, and the Dagomar Vava, printed in the back of Shulchan Aruch, says that sounds right to him. He said, I'm not 100%, but it sounds right. At first glance, it sounds right to him. Okay? And he says like this. The din is that if a bug was mixed into other foods, we would say that a whole bug was mixed in. It's not going to be batel because it's a barrier. It's a whole item. Okay? And we're going to talk about that later. When is it or when is it not batel? But potentially, we say it's not batel because it's a barrier. It's a whole item. Items can't be batel. The din is that a barrier can only... the only time a barrier is not batel, if the barrier is, in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, is asur mitchilas priyasei. It's been asur forever. It's always been asur. Something that was used to be mutter and became asur, let's say it was basa b'chalv. Okay, you had meat, and that meat became, the meat got mixed with, cooked with milk, and became basa b'chalav. That's never a barrier. A barrier means something that was always asur. Something that became, a shar hanisko. It's something like that. A shar hanisko, means it was, when it was born, it was kosher, you're allowed to eat this animal. It went ahead and it attacked some other person, became a shar hanisko. That animal is mutter, can't be barrier. We don't treat it as a barrier because it hasn't always been asur. So Shlomo Kluger said, no. Bugs weren't always usher. When the bug was born, he was mutter. He only became usher when he walked, when he got into the back of the plate. It's mutter because bugs that are born in the water are only usher if they're born in certain types of water, or if they leave the water. Bugs that are on fruits and vegetables are only usher when they start to crawl. Okay, in certain cases, only if they start to crawl. So when they were born, they were mutter.
When they were born, they were too small to be a bug too.
No, so for this case, say when they became visible, okay, when they came to the point that they became usher. it, when they became to this, when it came to the point that it, the din considers it visible, it considers it existing,
okay.
Was it also was that? So some bugs, and this is important, it's important for the riots, which we're not going to talk about, some bugs are going to be also mitchias priyasa. For example, let's say a bug was born in Lake Michigan. A bug that's born in a yam is also from the time it's born. It doesn't have to go anyplace. Okay, but and that will explain why there are riots that there is such a thing as a bug being a barrier. Because there is an example of awesome because they're awesome. But there's lots of bugs that are not awesome. For example, this is the big shiloh that's looking to is bugs in flower. Okay? The bugs that are found in flower would not be awesome unless they moved. We'll get to why later. They wouldn't be awesome until they move. So he says, but they're not barriers. They're not a barrier because it wasn't also when it was born. When it was born, it was mutter. It only became also later. It's not a barrier.
That was because it didn't move when it was born?
It didn't those bugs that are not attached to the ground, no, it's not, until it moves, it doesn't become also. It might move 5 minutes later. But that means it was not also from the time it was born. It became also later in life. Later could have been 5 minutes later,
next
but it wasn't.
Call, press 1. Returning to the conference room.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about is The truth is that most lachronim do not agree with this, okay, and except that halacha is that bugs are considered barriers, okay? And we're not going to talk about the riots back and forth. That's too much for us. Look at all the riots. I don't know them, and it's too complicated. All the riots back and forth about this. But I just want to talk about what's the svar. What should be the reason why someone should argue him? What's wrong with what he's saying? What's the reason to think? He seems to have a good point. They're not awesome mitchias priyosin. If not awesome mitchias priyosin, why should they be considered barriers? Okay, so I'm going to tell you two or sort of three reasons that the Chorim say why it might not be true. Okay, one is the Chavistah says, how do we know that a bug, where does it come from that a barrier has to be awesome mitchias priyosin? So he says, it comes from Rashba, and other Rishonim who say the same point. And the Rashba says like this. He says, Dafka she'isura machbas atzma, k'goyin namoloi gid. It has to have been also, inherently, also be like a namolo, or like a gid anasha. Shasur, I'm skipping somewhere. Shasur mitzat atzma mitchias priyosim. Avaberia muteres, ela she'kiblu isur machbas dover acher. If it was really mutter, but it got isur from somebody else, k'goyin sharanisko, ein zuberia she'ein abitel. That's not the kind of barrier that's not possible. Okay, so what Chavistah says is, the Rashba said was, also mitchilas b'riyosai is a way of knowing whether the thing is inherently usher. So the criteria here is not, is it always usher or is it not always usher? The question is it inherently usher or is it not inherently usher? A shara nisko, there's nothing inherently usher about the animal. It's just that the animal did something that made it usher. As opposed to a gid anoshe is inherently usher. Okay, and usually the way we decide if something is inherently usher or not inherently usher is by looking whether it's been usher its whole life. If it was always usher, that's usually a sign that there's something inherently wrong with this thing. So he says that an insect, what's wrong with the insect? It's not that the insect did something wrong. The walking is not what made the insect usher. It didn't say, oh, now that you walked, insects that walked, are you not allowed to eat them? It's that insects are inherently usher. There's something inherently wrong. The Torah doesn't want you to eat insects. There's like a condition. They don't become usher until they walk. So it's just a condition. It's not like they became usher because they walked. And therefore, the criteria is really not usher mitchilas priyosa. The criteria is, are they inherently usher? That's, you see in the words in the Eshkol, it's even stronger. Is that the criteria for what? The criteria is, are you inherently usher? Insects are inherently usher. Whether they walked or they didn't walk, it's just a tonight. It's just a condition. The Torah says they don't become usher until a certain time. But they are inherently usher. Okay? Yes.
A behemoth, even, I don't know about seeing this or this, but when a behemoth is born, it's also Befeskes Isser. Because Abram and Achayr and Ishkuta, so why by Shuan Disco, I want to go from the Isser of...
I don't know. I have no idea.
Same thing, in essence, is with the Sermonim of Treif. You know, there's a Chakira. I think the Rogachover says a Chakira. Are the Sermonim things that make it
awesome?
Okay. Or a Simon Mavarer?
Okay.
Similar thing to what you're saying here. Is it inherently
that you mean
usher? And how do we know?
Okay, you could say that. I could accept it. Yes. Yes. So the walking, right? The bug. When we say a bug is usher, we all understand that a bug is inherently usher.
Right.
Why does it have to walk? We don't know why the din is that it has to walk, but that's some. The Chavistah says that's just a tonight, just a way of turning on the isser, so to speak. But the isser is there because of the inherent thing about it. It's not that the walking makes it usher. What about it?
So I'm saying it's called a
sheret,
so maybe that's
okay.
Why the walking...
Well, that's sort of about the next answer. Wait, hold that for one second, okay? The next answer is, this is the Chavistah's. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Chelev, for whatever the Gemara is talking about, the Gemara says that Chelev never had a Shas HaKosher. Chelev is part of the animal that you're not allowed to eat. Certain fats that you're not allowed to eat. And the Gemara says it never had a Shas HaKosher, which is, those words sure sound very much the same as Asim Techilas Briosa. Shas HaKosher, never had a time when it was kosher. And, or the opposite of that is Asim Techilas Briosa. So the Rashba says, even though the Gemara said that the Chelev never had a Shas HaKosher, he says, you know, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Shlil, the Chelev is mutter. Okay, you let eat the chelev. You let eat that chelev. So the Rashi says you should know that even though the chelev in this embryo is mutter, the chelev is mutter there, we still consider, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that chelev was usher, it never was mutter. How could that be? The Rashi says, because when the chelev was in the shlil, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't chelev. When it becomes to the size, or when it's born and it becomes usher, that's when it becomes chelev. So it's not that it was chelev when it was mutter. Then it wasn't chelev. That wasn't called chelev at that point. When it becomes to cross the line and becomes usher, it now becomes chelev. So the chelev was always usher. Yesterday it wasn't chelev. Yesterday it was something else. So the Chavistah says the same thing with the bug. When we went until the certain shrotzim that are mutter, they're not shrotzim. The Torah calls them shrotzim when they meet some criteria. They walk, they get out of the clay, whatever the criteria is that they have to pass to get there, they become a sheretz when they do that point. So they're not shrotzim until they hit that spot. Okay, and the Prima Gadim says in a different way, Prima Gadim in Simkot, by Asim Tchilas Brasa, says that same idea but in a different way. He says, a bug that's in a place that it's mutter, and he's talking about bugs that are in an animal, that, or in a fish, that bug is considered to be not an independent being, it's considered part of the fish. We would say part of the water. And the reason why it's mutter is because it's not a bug yet. Okay, it's not, the Torah doesn't look at it as an independent body, it's part of the other body. It's part of the other thing. When it moves, when it leaves the thing, let's say in our case, it leaves the water, now it's not water anymore, now it's an independent being, and we judge it by itself. Is it mutter or is it also? And we say that it's also. Okay, it's a similar idea to what the Chavistah says. And that, what the Prima Gadim says, is very much doing in a Gemara, and we're going to have it later in Halacha Tezayin, which is, we say that the Gemara, the din is, that worms that are inside of animals, okay, are aser because of Evi Menachai. Okay, they're considered to be part of the living animal. The animal is Evi Menachai, and the worms that are in there, the Gemara says, are Evi Menachai to eat those animals, because the worm is considered part of the animal, which is what the Prima Gadim is saying, which is, what, before the bug becomes... The animal's alive. Well, the animal was alive.
When you eat it, the animal's dead. So how can you have part of the animal's living, part of the animal's
Get the tezak. I'm just giving you the idea. The idea the Prima Gadim says is that until the animal does the thing that it has to, like walk or leave the place where it was, it's considered part of the original thing. So it's not considered a shevet. It's considered an animal. Or it's considered a puddle of water. In our case, it's water. It's not bugs yet. When it leaves and gets to the outside, then it becomes a sheretz, and at that point, it could be potentially usher, depending on what it is. So, which is what the Chavis is saying. Again, to explain, we're trying to explain why not like a Pshon and Kluger. It is usher mitchilas barasa. It's usher from when it was created, because the din says before it left the animal or the water or the plant, until that point, it was a piece of potato. Okay, it was flour. When it left, that's when it became an independent being, and that sheretz was always usher from Tamar Mitzvah.